This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
Seth Greenberg, my man. Even though Garrett Cole's got a little bit of an elbow problem, he's still in a good mood. I know you're still in a good mood, right?
I am. It's the best time of the year, man. It's getting better. You got championship week, brackets, 2 weeks of incredible games, championship game, and then golf. That's good.
I thought we might just talk about Rory McIlroy off to a great start at the Players' Championship. We'll talk Masters another time. Your first game today is Florida State and North Carolina. Just big picture about UNC. I know they're playing for a number one seed. I know, I get all of that. They'd like to be a number one seed. I'm not sure in the grand scheme of things how important that is. But when you look at the Tar Heels and you think about the next tournament, what has to go right for them to win it all?
Just continue to defend. And to me, they've got a nice 8-9 man rotation. I thought I was a little concerned about them defensively going into the Duke game. They had that one little stretch where they lost like 3 of 6.
Yeah.
But I was really impressed with what they did defensively against Duke. They were the tougher, harder playing team. They got up and underneath Duke. They disrupted their rhythm. They pushed them out. And then they've got matchup problems. I think the one thing you got to realize, Hubert Davis's team, they got to have a skilled four man. And Harrison Ingram is that guy. He's a matchup problem. There's no doubt about it. And I think Armando's playing with a greater force. He's posting harder. He's establishing his position. So I'm really high on Duke. On North Carolina, I walked away from that Duke game saying, this is a team that makes a deep run.
Yeah.
They play with a force and a sense of urgency that I hadn't seen from them. And I think that, look, this time of the year, the temperature gets raised. And when the temperature gets raised, I think that's a good thing. And I think they're playing their best basketball.
I agree. I'm not worried about, I don't care what happens this weekend for the Tar Heels. I am very bullish on them in the next tournament. And I felt that way after the first Duke Carolina game, because a team rooted in defense, which is the first time we'd ever been able to say that about a Tar Heel team specifically, where they are built on the defensive end first, offense comes off of that. I'm curious your thoughts on this, Seth. The fact that they are an older team, and I'm not trying to make jokes about Cormac Ryan having an AARP card or Armando Bacot being 24. That's just the nature of their roster. Is it an advantage to be so much of a more of a veteran team than almost everybody else?
Yeah, I think it is. If you look at the past NCAA tournaments, I mean, freshmen don't impact national championships. Freshmen don't impact Final Fours. In the last 4 years, you know what impacts Final Fours? Experience and maturity, toughness, guys that basically can get to the next play, guys that compete at a high level. Freshmen don't understand how to compete at a high level consistently. You want to win the NCAA tournament, you got to do the tough things consistently. I'll take old guys over young guys when it comes to that.
I agree with you on that as well. You need talent, but Carolina's got both of those. So let me just skip to the first game of the night session, which is the State-Duke game. And I know John Shire, after the Carolina game Saturday, talked about a lot of the things that they're not doing to his standard or their standard are within their control. And I think to an extent he's right. But I think North Carolina did all of those things and does all of the things he wanted at a higher level than Duke does. So I'm not sure it's in his control against UNC. I think they need a little help from the Tar Heels, or at least they have to force the Cormac Ryans, Harrison Ingrams, and maybe even the R.J. Davises into poor shooting nights. When you look at the Blue Devils, is there something missing there?
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete Deruta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. I was on your website, and I love the term financial termites, because there are always things eating at your money that you can't see.
So you don't want financial termites. Termites in the financial world are risk, fees, unnecessary commissions. All the bad things that we see and we hear about on TV are happening many times inside your portfolio you don't see. So you need a financial exterminator. Well, for the next 10 of you who call, we'll put together for you your very own total retirement plan at no cost.
Call 888-843-0013 or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
I think that what's missing is that they need Filipowski to play with a greater force. There's no doubt about it. And then in the perimeter, you can't have Tyrese Proctor not be assertive and not be aggressive. Just can't have that. But Filipowski, to me, is the villain. And I'm not using villain.
Right, I get it.
I mean, like, I look at Kyle Filipowski, and you know he likes to play in the perimeter. You know he can pick and pop. You know he can short roll. He can do all those things. You know what he can really do? He can punish you in the paint.
Right.
All right. And if he would long roll, post up, if he'd come off those cross screens and establish post position, if he would compete harder, you know, to get the ball down low, now all of a sudden you got to double the post. When you got to double the post, he either scores it. If you double it, he kicks it out. They make one more. Now they're driving close outs. Now they're making plays. So I like to see him play with a little greater force. I do agree with you that the matchup at four, big picture, I like Mark Mitchell, but now he's had two games in, you know, against Carolina, highest level competition, where he's disappeared.
Yeah.
He's disappeared, non-factor. And by the way, when I speak to Filipowski, I don't care about his numbers. It's how he gets his numbers when he gets his numbers.
Right.
You know, every team has a leading scorer, and there is such things as empty numbers.
Yep.
And I think that he's had some empty numbers in those games, and against Duke.
Yeah,
I mean, against Carolina.
He's had big numbers in both games, and I don't think he's like early in the second half Saturday in Cameron. He was obviously great, and he got that run helped Duke get back in it and maintain some level of contact with the lead. But ultimately, the game was won by the team that deserved to win it. I've also been talking, Seth Greenberg is joining us from ESPN. Of course, he's in D.C., where the best conference basketball tournament of all time is being played. It's the Rose Bowl of basketball, is the way I like to call it. NC State, I've been saying this for a few weeks now, I'm not concerned about whether or not they're good enough to be an at-large team, because I thought that horse had left the barn a while back. But I do think that they needed to use this time to find running mates for DJ Horn. Well, the injury to Horn maybe provided the biggest window to that, and Jaden Taylor and Casey Morsell and a couple of other guys have stepped their game up a little bit. Michael O'Connell, did they have enough to beat Duke tonight?
They have enough to beat Duke. They got to stay out of foul trouble in their front court. They got to get pretty good minutes out of Middlebrook off the bench. But DJ's got to play probably 28 to 30 minutes, and he's got to be efficient. And they've got to impose their identity on the game. They've got to do to Duke what basically Carolina did. With their guard play, get up underneath them, pressure them, disrupt them, and be really physical. Basically send a message. You know, if I'm Kevin Keats, the first few plays, I am flat out getting after the backcourt. I mean, physically getting after. You got these depth now with Horn back. So I would say be really physical, play through the post without a doubt early, go at Filipowski, make him guard, and make the game as ugly and physical as possible.
Seth Greenberg is joining us from D.C. All right. I think the best game of the day in D.C. is going to be the second game. You'll see Wake Forest and Pitt. The argument could be made that only one of these teams is going to get an NCAA tournament bid. My eyeball test, not to channel our friend Dick Vitale, my bald dome index tells me that both of these teams, when I watch them, are good enough to not only be in the NCAA tournament, but to win games in them. They've both got star-level players. They both have depth. They both can shoot. They've got big guards. How do you see this matchup, and do you think both will get in?
My gut feeling is only one. I think Wake wins this game. Andrew Carr's got to show up. When he's good, they're very good. The backcourt will be fine. Hildreth, I'm a little worried about his hamstring, but Hildreth and Salas and Miller. Now, Miller's got to take good shots.
Right.
At times, he shoots them in and shoots them out. Efton's got to stay out of foul trouble. Now, I do like this Pitt team. I like when Lowe comes in the game, distributes the ball. Obviously, Henson's a matchup problem. Bubs Carrington can be a matchup problem at times. Leggett, it's been really good for him. But the maturity of this Wake Forest team, I'm kind of leaning towards Wake Forest in a win and getting into the tournament off a win.
It's funny. We actually talked to Jason Capel, Pitt assistant, the other day, and he referred to Blake Hinson as having unreasonable confidence shooting the basketball. I mean, he is one of the more fun players. He celebrated. They won at Cameron, and he stepped up onto the scorer's table and celebrated in front of the Duke fans. Nobody threw anything at him.
He's lucky no one threw anything at him. I know, really.
So, where do you stand on court storming, Seth Gray? Have you ever been in a court?
I've always loved court storming. I've always loved court storming. I'm a little disappointed that we haven't found a way to get guys off the court safely. I say, give me a one-minute buffer.
Right.
Get the players off the court, storm, and have fun. That's my take on it. I'll stick by that. Throwing stuff on the court, though, let me tell you something. I go back to the video of that. I find the students that threw stuff on the court, and they lose the privilege because it's a privilege to attend those games.
Yep.
They lose the privilege to attend the game. That's my take on that.
I am 100% with you. All right, now real quick, final thing. From your perspective, these tournaments, they don't carry the same meaning they used to because the NCAA tournament gets bigger, and the added emphasis has always been on, not always, but over the last maybe 10 or 15 years, has been on what you do in that tournament, not this one. How do you make this one matter even more?
You don't anymore. With the tournament expanding, this tournament's about tradition and history. That's what it's about. And it's about for the major conferences. It's about one more opportunity. It's about bringing the whole league together and having a shared experience and celebrating the league and crowning a champion. Because you know the one thing about these conference tournaments now is that because of the unbalanced schedule. Mm-hmm. You're actually getting a little bit of a truer champion because you got guys playing against each other and, you know, single elimination, they're earning their way to a championship. Unbalanced schedule, you know, your schedule will dictate who has the greatest chance to win a championship.